So for John to lead us in worship this morning was a real, I'm going to stick in there and push through. So this morning, we didn't just have songs that we sang, but actually John led us in great worship, didn't he? So well done, mate. I'm proud of you. Really am proud of you. And I think that last one we sang, that old hymn, really kind of symbolizes the lady's life. And we're bearing fruit in John's life, in Sarah's life, and the boy's life because of the investment his nan made into her family, who then in turn made an investment into other families. It's exciting, isn't it? What a great legacy we are able to leave behind. So this morning we're going to continue on the theme of the cross changes everything, and this is a really exciting theme. We had planned and schemed and scheduled that the next 7 weeks we would look at the statements that Jesus made from that cross position. And I started it just a few weeks ago, and I spoke on the cross changes everything, and I spoke on forgiveness. And some of the feedback from that subject has been absolutely astounding. It's been overwhelming. And I really am blessed and encouraged that when you stand on the platform on a Sunday morning and you speak, that actually people aren't just listening, but they're actually taking it away and they're applying what's being said. So that's really, really good. And I didn't realize that actually, out of all of the things that Jesus said, and everything he said was very significant, very important to listen to, but I somehow seem to have ended up with what I call the meaty ones. So the subject of forgiveness was really interesting, really meaty, and when we apply that, it's very powerful. And this morning, my title is simply this: The Cross Changes Everything, Why Have You Forsaken Me? Okay, the cross changes everything, why have you forsaken me? And to help us with our reading this morning, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 to 46, and that will just help us underline the thoughts this morning. It reads like this: From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all of the land. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthana," which simply means, my God, why have you forsaken me? John and I sat together and we were just talking on this whole subject, and we were beginning to allocate the preaching slots out and so on. And when we looked at that whole subject, my God, why have you forsaken me? We kind of came to the conclusion that if we were to use the word forsaken, that many in the context of our room, and even those that are listening through podcast and through any other media that we choose to use, that some would struggle possibly with the word forsaken. I'm not forsaken. I've never been forsaken. So we wanted to introduce another word this morning to summarize what we're trying to say. And that the word that we came up with, the word that John came up with, was the word abandonment. Because every one of us in this room, during the course of time and during the course of life's journey, will experience some shape, some form of abandonment, feeling abandoned. Or maybe we've abandoned something or someone. But even looking at that word abandonment, we can then narrow it down to some more keywords. And these words will help us understand and make application of the preach this morning. Rejection, desertion, betrayal, neglect, and loss. If I was to make an appeal this morning and ask if anybody listening this morning have experienced any of those feelings, those seasons, those experiences of life, I would anticipate that the majority of us in this room would raise our hands. And you need to know that my hand would be the very first hand to go up. I'd raise you to raise the hand because I've experienced many of those feelings and those seasons of life and time. We recognize that abandonment spans from childhood. Maybe in this room this morning there are some who were abandoned as a child. And it goes right through to adulthood. It really does. Some of us will experience abandonment through family and friends. And what I've discovered is this, that abandonment initiates lots of feelings that we carry. We carry them internally, but at the same time, some of those internal carries that we carry can often manifest themselves externally. Abandonment can create pain. And boy, isn't our world filled with pain currently? It can also introduce shame. And what I've discovered is this, that many of us who experience abandonment, rejection, betrayal, desertion, our self-esteem can be one moment high, but then our self-esteem can be low, and our sense of self-worth can be devalued over the course of time. It can introduce anxiety and depression. Our personal well-being can be affected. And what I've also discovered is this, that insecurity can set in. And when insecurity sets in, it creates a different perspective and perception of life. It affects our identity and it affects our image. What I've also discovered is this, that in those moments and seasons of abandonment, obscure thinking can control our mind. Intrusive thoughts can generate emotion and feeling, and it can impair somebody's ability to connect and trust others. If they've been abandoned in one relationship, they're very hesitant in making other relationship. The trust and the impact that has can be immense. On the bottom of the screen above my head, you'll see the word scars. And abandonment can create emotional, psychological scars that we carry throughout life. And scars can remind us constantly of some of the things that we have been abandoned by and abandoned for. What I got excited about as I began to prep and study for this subject matter, I realized that Jesus himself experienced abandonment in his life. The Bible is filled with illustration and examples of Jesus being abandoned, being rejected, being betrayed, and we'll focus on a few of those in a few moments' time. But Psalm 22 is a wonderful psalm. It's a psalm that begins to paint the picture of the crucifixion. Before the crucifixion, back in the book of Psalms, the psalmist begins to pen these words and prophetically paints that picture and identifies that Jesus, our Savior, also experienced abandonment in his life. And this morning, I want to focus on three areas of abandonment that I believe we often will face and be confronted with. The first one is simply this, that Jesus was abandoned by his friends. When I talk about his friends, I'm referring to his disciples, those that he did everyday life with. He was also abandoned by, number two, by people, but by those he touched through everyday life, through those that he engaged and connected with. And he knew what it was, not just to have his friends abandon him, but people, society, community abandon him. And the third one, which is a big one, and we're going to address it this morning, he knew what it was for his father also to abandon him. Have there been times in your life, my life, when we've been abandoned by friends, we've been abandoned by people, and we've also been abandoned by, or we feel we've been abandoned by God? You see, Jesus himself is described in the book of Hebrews as our high priest. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we have a high priest who was able to empathize with our weaknesses. We have a high priest who is tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he chose not to sin. And this morning we can recognize a God that we serve that doesn't sympathize with us, but empathizes with us. Sympathy and empathy are two different things. And oftentimes we can get mixed up with the definition and the interpretation of those words. To empathize is to have the ability to understand and share in somebody's feelings. We have a God who empathizes with us. Jesus empathizes with us. But the word sympathy is simply this, the feeling of pity for someone else's misfortune. And this morning, because Jesus experienced abandonment in his life, He empathizes with the sense of feeling we have also when we feel abandoned. Let's begin to look at the three areas and delve in a little bit deeper this morning. Jesus was abandoned by his friends. You know it extremely well that Jesus had 12 disciples that he called to follow him. One of those disciples, called Judas, abandoned him, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, sold him to the authorities. Jesus knew what it was to have someone who was close to him abandon him and reject him. Peter, that wonderful character who Jesus allowed to come even closer to him, spent more time with Peter than any of the other disciples. Jesus turned to him on one occasion whilst having a meal and said this, "By the time the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me three times." And Peter argues with him and says, "I would never do that to you." But Peter abandoned him. You see, maybe in this room this morning, there are those of us who have been abandoned by those who are close to us. Maybe some in this room have been abandoned by parents, and you may be more senior in age and years, yet you still carry the hurt and the pain of that sense of abandonment. Maybe in this room this morning, there are some of us who have been abandoned by our sibling or siblings. No longer are we involved, no longer are we invited, but there's an abandonment that we carry, and boy, doesn't the scars and the pains of that hurt. Maybe in this room this morning, there are some who have been abandoned by a spouse. That maybe you've gone through a season of betrayal where that individual has betrayed you and turned his or her back on you. Once again, the pain, the cutting sense and the pain that that generates and births within us can be so immense and so overwhelming. Maybe some of us have been abandoned by those that we've been intimate with and made ourselves very vulnerable to, and we've opened ourselves to them. You see, Jesus knew those abandonments, and because he knew them, he knows exactly how you're feeling and how I also am feeling. I started to think a little bit about the cross, because the cross changes everything. I thought a little bit of Jesus there on the cross, taking upon himself the sin, the iniquity, and all the wrongdoing of this earth. And when I began to look at Jesus on the cross, I realized that there were three Marys that were currently present when Jesus was at the cross. His mother was there, another Mary was there, and then Mary Magdalene was there also. Jesus had a number of followers when everything was going okay. But when he was on the cross, three Marys were around the cross. And there was the beloved disciple called John who was also there. He was even abandoned by those that he provided day-to-day sustenance for. He was abandoned. I want to encourage us this morning that if you feel abandoned in your hour of need, my Bible tells me this, that there's a real friend who sticks closer than any brother. So whatever you're confronted with, whatever the situation may be trying to dictate, determine the outcome of your life, we have a friend who sticks closer than any brother. My Bible also tells me this, that though my father and my mother may forsake me, the Lord would always receive me and welcome me and welcome me in. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, if you feel abandoned by your friends, there's a God who wants to step in and make all the difference. Am I helping anybody this morning? The second area of abandonment was Jesus was abandoned by other people. It's amazing how he gathered the crowds, and then when difficulties came, the crowds scattered and went their own way. I think of the time when Jesus rode into a city on the back of a donkey. The whole city was stirred, generated an atmosphere of life and expectancy, and the crowd shouted to him on this particular day, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna!" Yet a few days later, that same crowd abandoned him and shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" Jesus walked through the community, touched people's lives. He healed the sick. He stood for the voiceless. He forgave the sinners. He comforted the afflicted. He did so many good things, yet so many abandoned him, reject him, betrayed him, denied him, turned their back on him. And Jesus knew what it was to have that abandonment in every day of his life. I've discovered this, that oftentimes the ones you help the most are the first ones to abandon you. Making sense this morning? So as I began to do a little bit more study on this, I began to ask myself the questions, where were the ones who shouted Hosanna on Palm Sunday? Where were they on Good Friday? I started to ask myself the question, was it the same group of people that shouted Hosanna? Was it the same group of people that then shouted Crucify Him? The ones who stood and lined the streets, threw their coats onto the floor and tore the palm branches off, were they now the ones that were distant? You see, abandoned by people. Maybe in this room this morning, you've been abandoned by your friends, but you've also experienced the abandoning of people that you do life with on an everyday sense. They've turned their back upon you and they don't want anything to do with you. Once again, we have a friend who sticks closer than anybody else. The third one I really had to wrestle with a little bit, because that there are times and seasons when we may feel abandoned by God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands in this house this morning, but I know that this can be a genuine feel. You see, Jesus knew what it was to be abandoned by his Father. There he was on the cross, and it says that it became dark. And some interpretations, some translations of the Bible, some scholars would simply say this, that the reason and the purpose of the darkness and the bleakness of that moment was simply this, that God the Father turned his face from Jesus because he couldn't look at him. Because he took upon himself the sins of the world, all the wrongdoing of the world. And due to that sin, God the Father turned his face from his own Son. I think of the time when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. It describes that place as the place of pressing and the place of crushing. That's the name, Gethsemane. And in that place, we see that Jesus, he begins to pray with a sense of anguish and begins to pray. And it says that he began to sweat like drops of blood that fell to the ground in the place of pressure, pressing. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cries out, if you can take this cup from me, please take this cup from me. Have you ever had seasons and times when you question where God is? Maybe it's a bereavement. Where's God? Maybe it's a bankruptcy. Where's God? Maybe it's a breakdown in another form of relationship. Where is God in all of this? But I want you to know this, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, that place, that season of pressing, Jesus himself could still know that there was a God connected to him. In the seasons of pressing, the grape needs to be pressed for the wine to flow. The olive needs to be pressed so the oil can flow. And the chunk of carbon needs to be pressed, and over time, that chunk of carbon becomes the diamond. In your place of pressing, and in those seasons when you feel abandoned by God, hold in there, because my word tells me he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. Jesus on the cross, why? Have moments when you've asked God why? At those moments when you've asked the question why and you don't seem to have any answers coming back, there seems to be just a one-way kind of traffic of question, 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 with very little answer coming your way. The gospel tells me this, that we are encouraged to take up our cross and follow him. By taking up our cross and following him, it simply says this, that we're willing to die in order to follow Jesus. There are some tools and some keys to help us this morning in those seasons and those times of feeling abandoned. The first key is simply this: pray about it. I'm sorry if you were expecting something far deeper than that. wanting to have this depth of teaching and this depth of kind of insight this morning. But in those moments, those seasons of feeling abandoned, rejected, bruised, battered, worn out, pray about it. Pray that God will change you. Can I throw the challenge out this morning that in the center and the context of our prayer, that we're not praying against the situation for vengeance or to get our own kind of thing back. But what we're doing in those moments is feeling abandoned. We're saying, God, will you heal me? Will you heal me? And what happens, guys, is when you begin to sense God healing you, our perspective changes. Oftentimes we misdirect our prayer. God, will you sort that person out? Do you know what they've done to me? Do you know how they've made me feel? But actually, it's not about praying for them to get hit. It's about us praying that God will do something inside of us. That God works something through us. That God brings healing to us. Begins to prepare us for the next thing. You see, my Bible tells me this. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So, feeling abandoned this morning? Feeling rejected? Feeling forsaken? Pray about it. Ask God to help you in it and through it. The second thing is simply this. It's to reset, to readjust, and to restart, and to refocus. What does that mean, Ian? Very, very simple this morning. I want you to reset. I want you to readjust. I want you to restart and refocus on the Word. Okay, the Word. Prayer is important, and the Word is important as well. When we carry those feelings and that sense of what on earth is happening, we then need to reset and readjust, restart, refocus on what has been written. Remind ourselves of Scripture where it says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will be with you as you walk through the valley. I will be with you in the heat of the furnace. And I will be with you in the storm. And I'll enable you to come through the storm. You see, it's all about resetting one's heart and one's mind on how the Word of God perceives things and how the Word of God perceives us. Another great verse for us to quote in those resetting moments is Psalm 139, verse 14. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I may have been rejected by that person, but I've been accepted by God Almighty because He's my Creator and He's the one who I choose to align to. The next one is simply this. Align your confession with the truth and not distorted truth. The truth will set you free. The distorted truth, another word for distorted truth is lie. All right? The distorted truth will bind you up, will imprison you, and will cause you to have hardship and heartache. In aligning ourselves and confessing with truth, we need to guard our hearts. Why do we need to guard our hearts? Because out of our hearts flow the pathways, the streams, the ways of life. Psalm 19, verse 14, reads like this. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to God. And in these moments of feeling heavy and burdened and bogged down, the sense of being abandoned, our words and our meditation need to be on how God thinks of us and not how other people think of us. You see, we need to live by design and not by default. But when we choose to align ourselves to the truth, it's a life of design. When we choose to live by the distorted truth, it's a negative, false, default setting. You see, this morning, it is a little thing I just want to share it with you. It's simply this. I choose to live by adoption and not abandonment. My Bible tells me that. My Bible says that I've been adopted into God's family. I'm joint heirs with the Son. So that makes me really important. It makes us important. And I'm choosing not to live by the abandonment, but I'm choosing to live by the adoption. Maybe one of the most popular psalms is Psalm 23. often quoted, recited, and kind of rushed through on many occasions, but it starts off by simply saying this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And oftentimes we think that the want is the resource, the finance, the materialistic kind of stuff. But I want you to understand and hear this morning, church, that when we live in adoption and we choose not to live in abandonment, we can know what it is to have the Lord as our shepherd and how he provides for us. He provides for us those emotional needs. He provides for us those psychological needs. He provides for us all the stuff that we are wanting and desiring. You see, you don't have to live in abandonment, because you can live in adoption. When I was growing up, and when I said that in the first service, some sniggered because they don't think I've grown up. Lynn? We used to sing a song, and it was a song which was quite popular in its day. It's such an old song now, the majority of you would not even know this song. But as we traveled around the country with my mum and dad, going to different churches at different weekends on this itinerant ministry, we used to sing this song. And this morning, for those who are feeling a sense of abandonment, rejection, betrayal, I want to speak this over you. I'm accepted. I'm forgiven. I am fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted. No condemnation. I am loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Savior and Creator of this world. There is joy and there is peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. And I speak over this house this morning that you don't have to live in the shadow of abandonment, and you don't have to carry the weight of betrayal, and you don't have to live with a sense of rejection across your shoulders, because you've been accepted and you've been forgiven and you've been fathered and loved by God Almighty himself. I trust that helps this morning. And Jesus cried, "Why have you forsaken me?" He knew the pains, and he associates and aligns himself to our pains as well in this house this morning. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning.